We are holding on Chof Omid Beis, about just above the middle of the Omid line, begins Lachol Shavua. It's actually, sorry, a few lines above that. The line begins Lav Mitzvah Benedir. So, okay, about a third of the way down the Omid. Okay. We discussed yesterday a machlokes between Abaya and Rava about whether it's possible to be machlokes with Shavua.
Whether it's possible to make a shvua about one object and ask it to yourself, and then make a shvua that another object should be given the first one. Abaya
says yes, Rava says no. That led us to a difference, that led us to an argument between them about if you say isar, this, what does the word isar constitute? Rashi had learned that the braise, according to Abaya, the braise itself was kind of not sure whether an isar means that it's also or not. And Rava had explained that what it meant is that so Abaya had understood that in the end isar is machlokes b'shavua, to make a second thing also just like the first one. And Rava had said that isar is, it depends whether you phrase it as a neder or a shavua.
Rashi learned in the post discuss a few different other possibilities, including
that
maybe the point
about Isar in and of itself is not an Isar at all. Anyway, okay. So that was the machlok. So the Gemara says, "V'ach Rabbi Yechanan Savol Alahadur Rav." Rabbi Yechanan also holds the same way as Rava does. That if you use the word Isar
in context, for sure, if you say Isar, Isar means to do this, then that makes it sure.
Where do we see that? The Chiyasa Rav and Amar Rav Yechanan, if a person says Mivta La Echalach, if a person says Mivta, which we established yesterday, everybody agreed that Mivta is a Lashon Shavua. If a person says Mivta, I won't eat by you, or Isser La Echalach, or he says Isser, I won't eat by you, those are Shavua. So we see, therefore, that it depends. Because you said it in a Lashon of Shavua, therefore it becomes a Shavua.
Could you use the expression that I won't eat by you?
Which is what Rava had said. Again, according to Tosfos' explanations, because just the opposite, because Abaya had said that Isar doesn't come
with Isar at all. Unless
you have something else that you're associating it with, here we see Rabbi Yechanan say not like that. You just say
Isar is a verb.
Yeah, well, okay, fine, but the point is that Abaya, according to Tosfos, Abaya had been saying that if you just say Isar me to do this or whatever, that doesn't constitute a neder or shavua at all. Only if you said, this is also to me, and Isar this. Then you're associating with the other thing. You'd be mad. Here, there's nothing to associate it with, and yet Rabbi Yechanan says, the Shavua, that has to be like Rav.
Another
din that Rabbi Yechanan said. Ki osir of dimi omer Rabbi Yechanan. We talked briefly before about, you have two different kinds of Shavuos that are osir. You have Shavuos Sheker and Shavuos Shav.
There are different places where Torah warns you not to do it, and it's also relevant.
So therefore, it becomes relevant as far as you need to know which is which, because you need to know if you're going to give the person hasara, if he's going to be doing it the mezid, you need to know what you're being master on him on. Are you you're being master on him? You're being over on Shavuos Sheker, and you're going to get malchus, or that you're being over on Shavuos Shav, and you're going to get malchus.
If you don't Shavuos Shav, and you did Shavuos Sheker,
and you told him the Hasra for Shavuos Sheker, you said then it won't be because you didn't give him the proper Hasra.
So they did both usually. You're
maybe I don't know. I suppose you could, maybe I don't know. Anyway, Oichal v'loy Oichal Sheker. So therefore, Rabbi Dimi says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan like this: if the person makes a shavua that I will eat or that I won't eat, and then he fails to do it, that is Sheker. That's called a Shavuos Sheker. The warning in the Torah not to do that is when the pasuk says, "Loisi shavu b'shmi la'shoker." A pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, "Don't swear in my name falsely." Falsely over here means don't swear in my name in such a way that it will end up being false, because you don't end up following through with what you said. As opposed to achalti, but like achalti shav. But if the person makes a shavua, I ate or I didn't eat, that would be a Shavuos Shav, if the truth is the opposite.
What's the difference?
Because the difference is that the difference is, as soon as he said it, it was Shav. Rashi says that Shav is Lashon V'loy Klum. Shav means nothingness. So as soon as he said it, it was already a vain Shavuah, because it wasn't true at the moment he said it. When he says, Oichal, I will eat, then there's a certain period of time during which he has to fulfill it, depending on what he said. I will eat this today or within the next hour or what have you.
In the future.
So that's a sheker, because in the future, at the time he made the shavua, it wasn't. But later on, it becomes sheker by what he did or didn't do.
Right.
Here, and when it's in the past, it's shav, because it's a vain shavua in the first place. it's similar to, I mean, so we have, there's a few different types of Shavuot Shav. We talked about it briefly before. We're going to talk about later in the parak. One kind of Shavuot Shav is when you say this thing is something else, when it's clearly obvious. You know, this marble pillar is gold, for example. That's an example, and it's obviously not. Another one is when you say this marble pillar is marble, where it's very obvious that it is. So this is another kind of Shavuot Shav.
I think it's just the opposite. Sheker is saying something that did not happen or she didn't do.
No.
And Shav would be something which we will not do, but apparently...
So we're going to have another opinion. We're going to have another opinion later on, Rav Abahu, but Robin and the name of Rav Abahu. But right now we're dealing with Rav Dibi, Shita. Okay. So the warning not to do that is what the Pasuk says, don't take Hashem's name in vain.
So again,
it's a different Isser, and you need to give him Hasra for that. A third possibility where someone is over on something is Kainamos. Koinam, we learned back in Nedarim, is one of the expressions that a person might use to declare a neder. Because officially the way to do it is, again, you're mass based on a carbon. You're saying this should be like a carbon. But as we learned in Nedarim, the Chachamim didn't want people to be using the word carbon because they might end up saying carbon l'Hashem and using Hashem's name for no purpose. So therefore, they either we said over there that the word koinam maybe comes from some other language, or maybe it's a l'shonis shabadu l'hem Chachamim, slang terms that the Chachamim invented, whatever, as substitutes for the word carbon. So therefore, the word koinam, and this is what we say in Kol Nidre, Kol Nidre ve'esore yoshvoi v'charame, v'koinamai v'kinosei, that's what koinamai means, yeah. So koinamai, somebody makes a neder, and then he's over on it. That's a different issue, over below yachol dvore. Then he's over on what the Torah tells us in Parshas Matos, that a person should not desecrate his word.
Why is it desecrated?
Because he promised. He said this thing is also to me like a carbon, and now he ate it. So he desecrated. He violated his word.
So what's the difference between Konami and Shavuot?
So Rashi says like this: that we know already the Isser to be over on a Shavuot. We know from the respective Pesukim that we just said. Like he says, Shem Hashem Lachach Lashav, and Lo Yishav B'Shmi Lashoker. So therefore, for Shavuot Laba, you don't need the Pasuk LaYachal Dvarei because you already have the Pasuk Lo Yishav B'Shmi Lashoker. Don't make that the Shavuot that you previously made should end up becoming Shekel. Never mind Shav. Shav is the past. We're talking about a koinam is something for the future. It's impossible. It's impossible to be over on a neder on a neder in the past.
Right.
Koinam is in that sense like a shavuot sheker, right? But the difference is a shavuot sheker, you have a pasuk lo yishav b'shmila shoker. You could argue that's not the same as a neder. That's not the same as a koinam. A shavuot is I will do such and such, or I won't do such and such. A neder is this thing is also to me like a korban or what have you. So therefore, you need a different pasuk for lo yachol dvarei. Tosfos points out, it's not like by shavua you wouldn't, if you were over on a shavua, it's not like you wouldn't be over on bal yachol as well, on lo yachol as well. The pasuk says that ishki yudon neder or hishava shavua lo yachol dvarei. So it mentions both neder and shavua in that pasuk in connection with lo yachol. Or Gemara means that when it comes to a koinam, you only have the issur of lo yachol. You don't have the issur of lo yishavu b'shmila shoker because that's a shavua, and we're talking about a neder.
So
koinam would be
neder,
koinam means a neder, and you're only over on lo yachol when it comes
in
to
the future.
A shavuot sheker, namely what we're defining here is a shavuot sheker, a shavuot where you swore to do something or not do something in the future, and then you violated it. You're over on two things. We would be saying you're over on lo yishav b'shmi l'shoker as well as on lo yachol dvarim.
So you're over on a shavuot and on a neder.
Lo yachol dvarei does not mean specifically a neder. Lo yachol dvarei means that a person shouldn't violate his word. So that applies equally well to nedarim and shavuot.
That's the point. But it's only a point. But when it comes to a neder, that's the only part that you have about in that. When it comes to a shavuot,
you have a different part. Like you shavu b'shmei l'shok. Okay. Moses Maisvi. I have a contradiction to that though. We learn in a brisa shav v'sheker echad hein. We learn in a brisa that shav and sheker are the same thing.
Right.
Now, my lav, me the shav l'shava, af sheker na me the shava. Doesn't that mean that just as a shavuot shav is, according to Rav Dimi's definition, is something about the past? And it has to be, because, for example, again, we know that an example of a shavuot shav is the example we swear that this marble pillar is really gold, which is l'shava. It is right now gold, or it isn't, as the case may be. So therefore, af sheker na me the shava. That would imply that a shavuot sheker also has to be something about the past. Achalti or lo yachalti. You can't call a shavuot shav, Rashi says, because a shavuot shav would have to be something where it's obvious the two of the types of Shuah Shav, again, are this marble pillar is gold, which is clearly false, or this marble pillar is marble, which is trivially true, something that everybody knows is true. If you swear Achalti and you didn't really eat, it's not something that everybody knows.
So therefore,
on the face of it, you should be calling it. You shouldn't be calling it a shvuas shav in that case. You should be calling it. The Braise is saying shav and sheker are the same thing, implying that kind of thing would not be a shvuas shav. A shvuas shav would only be if it's trivially true or trivially false. This one is neither. Therefore, it should be a shvuas sheker. Achalti v'lo achalti shekeru. So therefore, you would see from that achalti or lo achalti is a shvuas sheker.
Now,
Jimmy says. The same thing, they're both about the past. We're going to explain later on. All the Braitha wants to tell us there's a certain other similarity between a Shvuas Shav and a Shvuas Sheker. Not as far as the timing, not as far as that they both refer to the past, but as far as something else, that you get Malkus for them, as we're going to say later. But not necessarily to say that they have the same definition. So, umay dover echad hein. So, what does it mean? So what does it mean when the Braisa says dover echad hein, that shav and sheker
cannot have the same definition?
Right. So, but what does it mean that they're dover echad? It means the bedibur echad nemru. It means that they were said by Hashem in the same word. Namely, like this. Okay, so we have, when it comes to the third dibro, the wording of that is identical in the first dibro in Yisrael and in the second dibro in Rosh Chaim. But so there it doesn't mention sheker at all. But you have elsewhere in the Aseret HaDibros, you have in the ones in Yisrael, it says by the ninth dibro, loisana bereacha ed shoker, don't be a false witness. In Vashanan, it says it's loisana bereacha ed shov. So therefore, we see from that that shav and sheker are so. If we have one set of dibros says shav and the other one says sheker, it means the same way as we're going to say now about zachar and shomer. This our Gemara over here is going to be the source of the famous thing about zachar and shomer, that it means that Hashem said them both at the same time.
Okay, so that's
what it means, dover echad, right?
So they cannot be the same if he said different words.
That's what we're going to get to. So dover echad does not mean that they have that they're synonymous, that they both mean l'shaver. They mean they were said b'dibur echad, and the relevance of that is what we're going to talk about soon, that it means you get malchus from. Not Rav Dimi doesn't. Who said Rav Dimi doesn't accept that? We thought the Braisa meant that they're synonymous. Therefore, it means they're both l'sha'avar, whereas Rav Dimi is saying one is l'sha'avar, one is l'haba. No, the Braisa, Faket, Rav Dimi himself will tell us the Braisa doesn't mean that. The Braisa just means they were said b'dibur echad, and therefore that brings about a certain similarity between them, but not a similarity as far as definition. K'detanya, like we learn in a Braisa, Zachar v'shamer b'dibur echad nemer, the word Zachar and Shamer were both said in the same word by Hashem. Something which a human mouth would be impossible to say. A human being can't speak two words together. And the ear can't hear such a thing.
So therefore, the same way as you have Zohar in Yisrael and Shomer in North Carolina, and it's not that Moshe changes the word when he's telling
it to the people over in Rosh Hashanah. He's telling them the second way in which Hashem spoke it originally at Har Sinai. In Yisrael, Hashem had dictated to him to write down Zohar, the first way. And now in Rosh Hashanah, he writes down the second way, Shomer. The same way, with Shav and Sheker, it means they were said b'dibur echad, that Hashem said the one word, that Hashem said the one thing, and two words come out of it at the same time, shav and sheker. By the way, why are we saying...
But one concept, it's two words said at the same
time. Two words said at the same time. Why we're mentioning, by the way, Shaino is in Yochel Lashmoya, Ben Yehoyada says, well, what's the relevance of saying that the ear can't hear it? Ben Yehoyada says, yes, ordinarily the ear can't hear such a thing. In that case, Hashem made it possible for them to actually hear both of them as distinct words, and the relevance of that is that therefore, we see Hashem made it happen beyond Teva, just as Shabbos itself is a day within the week that is beyond the normal way.
My question about this.
Okay, yeah.
But how did they know then that it wasn't the same time? If they heard two different sounds.
So they heard two different sounds, but they heard it at the same time. They were able to. They heard it at the same time, but they were that Hashem gave them the ability to disentangle those. So why not? I mean, nowadays you have, for example, you know, you can take a computer and you know, use it to you know, you take a sound signal or whatever, and you can pick out the one part versus the other. You know, so Hashem gave their ears. Yeah, so Hashem gave their ears at that moment the ability to do the same kind of thing.
Well, their brains.
Yeah. Okay. So therefore, so that's all it means is that Shav and Sheker are were said by Hashem in the same word, not that they're synonymous. However, the Gemara says, why? Bishleima hasam b'dibra achad nemru. No, I can understand why, when it comes to Zachar and Shamar, what's the relevance of saying that they were said b'dibra achad? It actually makes a practical difference in halacha, because that teaches
means where?
This that it says Zachar and Shamar.
Right.
In b'dibra achad, it's not just a nice thing that we say in l'chadoidi.
Mm-hmm.
It actually has a practical implication in halacha. Namely, the Amr of Adav Abba, Noshim Chayavis, the Kiddush Hayim, Dvar Torah. Women are Chayav in the Kiddush of Shabbos. Hayim, by the way, doesn't mean the daytime Kiddush. It means the Kiddush at the beginning of the day, meaning Friday night. Women are equally obligated in it as men. The Amakra, because the Pasuk says Zachar v'Shamar, because of this juxtaposition that we have, that Hashem said Zachar and Shamar in the same word. And therefore, we learn from that. Kol Sheyeshne b'Shmira, Yeshne b'Tzchira. Anybody who is subject to the Now, Zachar is a positive of Shabbos, for example, to make Kiddush. Shomer is the negative mitzvah of Shabbos. Don't do malacha. So therefore, anybody who is subject to Shemira, anybody who's obligated to guard Shabbos by not doing malacha, Yeshne v'tzchira, is also obligated in Zechira, in remembering it.
Wait, we know those women are included.
Because, Vahani Noshi, when it comes to women, Hoyo v'isnu v'shmira, since Shemira applies to them, because we have a general rule, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, that the Mishnah actually tells us in Kiddushin, that women are chayav in all loisa says equally with men, with the exception of three. And Shabbos is not one of them. They're allowed to shave their beards if they have one. They're allowed to shave their payas. And a wife or daughter of a Kohen is allowed to become tamei men. Other than
that, get to light the Hanukkah candle?
Hanukkah candles is the Rabbanan.
Right.
What about it?
What's their obligation in terms of?
You have people who have the minhag, that women and girls light their own as well. The Lubavitcher minhag is that married women are yotze through their husbands, and therefore single girls don't light on their own either, because what's the sense? They're going to light when they're younger and then give it up when they get married. The whole point of doing it when they're younger is for chinuch. So if they're living alone, if a woman is living alone, then of course she has a mitzvah too. Anyway, but here we're not talking about. Here we're talking daraisa. Since women are obligated to guard Shabbos because they're obligated in all the mitzvahs loisese just as much as men, therefore isnu nami v'schira. So by this putting together Zachar and Shomer teaches us that anybody who's chayev in Shomer is chayev in Zachar. Therefore, women are chayev in the v'schira in mentioning which is Kiddush.
Don't we say Shomer v'Zachar instead of Zachar v'Shomer?
In L'chadoidi we say Shamu v'Zachar because the L'chadoidi was written by the Shlomo Alkabet and he needed the shin for the acrostic of his name. Zachar comes first. In Yisrael, Shamu comes later on in Vashem.
Right.
But the main point is that Zachar is earlier in the Torah. Zachar is in Chumash Shmos. And Shomer is in Chumash Devarim.
Okay. So how could he invert the two?
Because he needed it for the acrostic of his name. His name was Shloima Halevi, not Zloima Halevi. Okay. No. Tosfos points out over here, by the way. Okay. Tosfos points out, by the way, over here. First of all, we see that our Gemara is clearly saying then that Kiddush is actually Daraisa. Tosfos asks on this on the basis of a Gemara point. Our Gemara seems to be saying that Kiddush is Daraisa. On the other hand, we have a Gemara in Nazir, Tosfos brings, that implies that drinking wine of Kiddush is only Dirabanan. So you have different explanations. The Mefarish or whatever, the Pirish printed under Rashi's name over there in Nazir has a different explanation of the Gemara over there that makes it that it's not relevant, the question whether it's Daraisa or Dirabanan. That's the question whether you're able to make a Shavua to be Mevatel a Mitzvah, which you can't, as we'll learn later on in our parak. But Tosfos over here takes that Gemara to mean that Kiddush is only Dirabanan, and therefore they answer over here that what it means is the basic concept that you have to mention Shabbos at the beginning, that is Daraisa. That you have to use wine for it, that is Dirabanan. That is the Rabbanan.
So really, Kiddush, you could say it without Zeraita.
Zeraita, and that's what we do on when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos. That's what we do on Friday night. Why do we say Vayichulu? Why do we say Vayichulu over there after Shemoneh Esrei? Because we can't eat. So that we're being Yotze Kiddush.
So
we're being Yotze Kiddush by doing that.
Zachar is only verbal. The Rabbanan made it.
The Rabbanan added wine to it. So the Tosfos talks about elsewhere, but they used for this as an asmachta. They use the pasuk in Hosea, Zichroi Kiyein Levonon. His remembrance is like the wine of Levonon. So we see that remembering is associated with wine. Okay.
Anyway,
you forget.
Yeah, okay, large amounts of it, but the small amounts of it, Rava says someplace else in the Gemara, I think we had in Baba Kama, Chamra Verechni Pachin, that wine and good smells and good fragrances opened up my mind, and wine as well, has opened up my mind and made me sharper.
Okay. So theoretically, you could not make it on Mashke. Because Mashke does make you...
Okay, I don't know about that. Yeah. No, I don't know about that necessarily. Once you're allowed to do it on wine, presumably you're allowed to do it on Kamai Medina. Okay. Anyway, Tosfos says it may even be that it's a full-fledged drasha, but definitely the idea that you have to drink from the wine afterwards, that is definitely only a drasha.
In front of a cup of wine, you know, but drinking itself
is truly drasha. So therefore, the Gemara in Nazir can be implying over there that drinking from it is drasha, even if we say that Kiddush itself, even over wine, is drasha. Anyway, the relevance of this, by the way, this that we're saying that women are chayiv and kiddush equally with men means in principle, it says in Shulchan Aruch, and then in principle, a woman could be motzi a man in kiddush. However, this is an example of one of those things, halacha ve'in modin kain, even though technically that's the halacha, if somebody comes to ask about it, we don't paskin for him like that, because we don't want people to be mezalzel in mitzvahs. We don't want people to treat mitzvahs lightly, like it's not important for me to even bother learning kiddush, I can just have my wife make it for me. But in principle, she could.
Yeah.
Okay, Elo Cholamai Hilchsami Baylai. Over here, by when it comes to Shav and Sheker, what would be the relevance of it lahalacha to say that Hashem said Shav and Sheker in the same word? Ella, it must. So we have to answer what it must mean is like this. Kishem Shaloika. So what the Braisa can't just mean the fact that Hashem said them in the same breath, because there's no particular nachmina from that. Rather, what we have to say is, what does the Braisa mean when it says that Shav and Sheker are the same thing? We mean, Kishem Shaloika al Sheker, Kach Loika Nami al Shav. Kishem Shaloika al Shav, Kach Loika Nami al Sheker. Just as you get Malkus for being over on a Shavuot Shav, so also you get Malkus for being over on a Shavuot Sheker. So one is in the past, one is in the future, but the commonality between them is you get Malkus for both of them. Unless it's Klapi Laya, which way?
That's according to...
Well, Reb Dimi can understand the Braisa this way. The Braisa just said generically that Shav and Sheker are one thing. So now we're understanding that it means they're one thing in the sense that you get Malkus for both things. Okay, the question is Klapi Laya, which way are you turning? In other words, the comparison is backwards, sort of. When it comes to a Shavuot Sheker, you have able to be a Lav Sheyesh by Maisa, namely a Shavuot Sheker, as we defined it before, is Lahaba. Namely, that you said, for example, I won't eat this, and then you actually go and eat it, where you actually did a maaser, and therefore it's logical you get malchus for that. So how are you saying that just as you get for a shavuot shav, which is less obvious, a shavuot shav doesn't involve a maaser, you said I ate, and you didn't really eat. There's no action involved, that you should have to get malchus for that is a bit of a chiddush in itself. Never mind that. But the point is, why are you saying just as it's a given that you get malchus for a shavuot shav, so also we want to inform you get for a shavuot sheker? It's backwards. Anyway, you're right. You have to flip it around. Kishem shaloika al sheker, kach loika nami al shav. Fine, it should be the other way around. Just as it's a given that you get malchus for a shavuot sheker, because that can involve a maaser, so also the Torah wants to tell you you get malchus for a shavuot shav. The question, though, is pshita. Isn't that obvious that you could get malchus for both? So
we don't need anything to tell us.
Yeah, high lav, the high lav, because each one of them is a lav, and therefore, and the usual rule is that you do get malchus for a lav unless otherwise specified. A number of the Rishonim take out the words high lav, the high lav. The question really isn't that the question really isn't. That they're both lavim. The question is, by regarding both of them, the Torah says, lo yinak Hashem, that Hashem will not cleanse a person from the Avera. So therefore, obviously, the punishment for them should be equal. The answer is Mao de Tamer. If you didn't have the comparison between Shvuas Shav and Shvuas Sheker, you would think that the word Lo Yanak Hashem is Kedomolei Rapapa Abaya, which should have to be understood the way that Rapapa asks Abaya later in the Sugya, that he asks him, maybe Lo Yanak Hashem means that there's no cleansing of it at all. Maybe Shaker, the person does not get Malchus, and there's nothing to cleanse him from his Aveda until he dies.
And with Kamash, we understand it as meaning
Kamash Malon, now that we're now Kamash Malon, therefore the Braisa is informing us that not Kiddushani Le, you should understand rather the word Lo Yanak Hashem, the way Abaye explains it, that Fakek, it means Hashem will not cleanse him until he dies, but based in Shalmata will attempt to cleanse him by giving him mouth.
And we could have understood it.
We could have understood it that way. By the Braisa telling us The Braisa are telling us that just as you get Malchus by saying that the two of them are equal,
right,
meaning again, not equal as far as timing, but as far as definition, but equal as far as you get Malchus for both of them,
both
the Chiddush is, even though when it comes to Shavuos Shav, so by Shavuos Sheker, okay, Shavuos Sheker again involves Maisa, there's no question you should get Malchus for that. But Shavuos Shav, where first of all, it doesn't necessarily involve Maisa, and second of all, the Pasuk says, Lo Yanak Hashem, maybe it means the person can't be cleansed from it at all, so there's no statutory punishment for it on earth to clean him up from it.
Right.
Therefore, the Braisa wants to tell us that no, it is similar to a Shavuos Sheker, in that you will get Malchus for it, that based in Shalmata will do what they can to clean you up from it. The Iboisema, or another way that you can understand the Braisa that we quoted before, where we said that Shav and Sheker are one thing. So the one explanation we had is that it means you get Malchus for both of them.
Right.
Another explanation means Kishem Shem, maybe Korban or Sheker, Kach maybe Korban or Shav. The Braisa wants to tell us, just as, never mind the case of Mezid that we were dealing with until now, Malchus, now we'll deal with the case where you violated it for Shogig.
Right.
Kishem Shem, maybe Korban or Sheker, just as you bring a Korban for a Shavuos Sheker, Kach, maybe Korban or Shav, so also you would bring a Korban for a Shavuos Shav, namely again. You don't bring Malchus for it, you don't bring Korban for every lav. Only according to Rabbi Akiva, who says, and we'll learn the limud for it later in the parak, that Rabbi Akiva holds you equally well chayav a Korban for l'sha'avar, for the past, as l'habba, for the future. Keep in mind, the Torah, when it talks about the korban olah v'yored, it only mentions the future, l'hora olahetiv, that he makes a shavua to do bad or to do good. Meaning, for example, he makes it to bad, for example, I will not eat this, for example, which is doing himself bad, denying it to himself, and then he violates it, or vice versa. So if it was b'shogeg that he didn't realize when he ate it or didn't eat it, as the case may be, what he had made is shavuah, that's when he'll bring the korban olah v'yored.
According to
everybody who reads that, says so in the pasuk.
Yeah.
But this that we're saying, that it also applies to the past, that if he were to make a shavuah, I ate this, and then forgetting at the time that he made this shavuah that previously he had not eaten it, then he would, according to Rabbi Akiva, he have a korban olah v'yored for that.
So everybody agrees.
Everybody agrees, l'habah.
To the future.
And it's a
machlokes.
He
made a shavua and he didn't
yeah.
bring it.
Right, he made a shavua for the future and then did the opposite of what he said, yeah.
But he did not.
Well, either, again, it could be this two possibilities, right? He said, I won't eat this bread, and he did eat it, and there can be, I will eat this bread, and he didn't eat it, yeah. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that it also applies to the past. Our braisa, therefore, that says that Shav and Sheker are Echad Hain, that can be talking according to Rabbi Akiva. Echad Hain, in the sense that you'll bring a korban equally well for each of those cases. Okay. Mesri, the Gemara says, okay, fine. Now I have another contradiction against Rav Dimi's definition. Again, Rav Dimi's definition was that Shav is in the past and Sheker is in the future. But a Braisa says, Ezer Shavuos Shav, what is the definition of Shavuos Shav? Nishba l'shanes is a yedua la'adam. If a person makes a shavua to change something which is known to people, like the example we were saying before, this pillar is not marble, but rather gold, when it's blatantly marble. Shavuos Sheker, nishba l'hachlif, whereas what is Shavuos Sheker? He's nishba to change. Now, on the face of it, what does it mean, l'hachlif, to change? On the face of it, it means to change something, to change the truth, to say the opposite of the truth, that we l'sha'ava. I did eat, and really he didn't eat it. So therefore, we see this braisa is saying that sheker is a, we see that this braisa is saying that sheker is l'sha'ava, about the past.
So in other words, sheker here means not the future, it means changing the past.
It means changing the past, making a statement about the past, which is false, right?
Which is false.
Which is false, right. This that we're saying over here, by the way, that we say Nishva L'shanos es Yadua, that we say to change what L'shanos es Yadua L'Adam, to change what's known to people, the Ritva takes out those three words, es Yadua L'Adam. He understands that Nishva L'shanos means that the person is swearing to change the past. To claim that what happened in the past is different than what really happened. Which would mean, again, the Braita is basically saying that Shav and Sheker are the same thing, not like Rav Gimi said, that they're opposites.
The
goyim
should run that.
Yeah. Okay.
Change the past.
Yeah, whatever. The answer is Eima Nishva. No, you have to change the wording of the Braita.
To what?
The answer to this challenge from the Braita. Sure. That the Braita seems to be contradicting Rav Gimi as far as the definition of Shav Sheker. That Sheker at least is in the past.
Sheker is in the past.
Ema nishba umachlif. No, change it to say that he makes a shvua and then changes it. He swears to do something and then does the opposite of what he swore to do, or not to do. So therefore, that would fit exactly with Rav Gimi's definition.
Say that he said something.
He said something umachlif, and then he changes. He does the opposite of what he had sworn. So he had sworn not to eat, and then he eats.
How does that change?
Instead of nishva lehachlif, which implies that he makes a shvua changing something that already happened, it's nishva umachlif, swearing and then going and changing and doing the opposite of what he was supposed to do.
From nishva lehachlif to nishva umachlif. Nishva
umachlif. Okay, so that settles that then.
Nishva lehachlif means
nishva lehachlif again means that he swears to change something in the past,
change
right?
The past.
And nishva umachlif means about the future. Yeah.
Okay, that's easier.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Thus far, we have Rav Dimi's definition.
So
the name of Rav
Dimi.
No, we corrected the Braisa to say nishva lehachlif and nishva umachlif. Yeah. Right. For the previous Braisa, we didn't correct. We just reinterpreted. In two different ways, either that it means you get malchus for both, or it means that you bring a car.
We correct
it
for what did we correct?
No. We didn't correct anything in the previous braisa.
Okay.
Fine. Thus far, Rav Dimi's definition. Now another definition. He also Ravin Amar Rav Yirmiya Amar Rav Abahu Amar Rav Yechanan. No, here's a different way of defining the difference. Achalti v'lo achalti sheker. Just the opposite. Saying about the past, I ate when really he didn't, or I didn't eat when really he did, that is Shavuos Sheker. Therefore, the Azhara for that is from the Pasuk, Lo Tishavu B'Shmila Sheker. So he understands that the opposite of Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi had said, Lo Tishavu B'Shmila Sheker means don't make a Shavua, which you will end up making Sheker by not doing what you said you're going to do, which is the future. Here we're understanding, Lo Tishavu B'Shmila Sheker, don't make a Shavua, that at the moment you make that Shavua, it's already Sheker. Namely, that's about the past.
Isn't that what we said initially, before Rav Dimi?
Before Rav Dimi, we didn't get into this. The Rav Dimi was where we started the discussion.
That Shavuos Sheker was a present.
We didn't say anything. We said that Rav Dimi came along and said that the definition of Shavuos Sheker is for the future. And the definition of Shavuos Shav is the past. Now, Ravin is flipping that around and saying that Achalti and Lo Achalti is Sheker. Lo Tishavu B'Shmila Sheker. Don't make a Shavua that the moment you say it, it's already false. Oichal V'Loi Oichal. On the other hand, if he says about the future, I will eat or I won't eat, that is, we don't define it as Shavuos Shav, that's a different thing. Over V'Lo Yachal Dvore. That's where he's over on, that it says, Lo Yachal Dvore. He shall not desecrate, he shall not violate his word, this, which is what Rav Dimi had used that for a neder, for a koinam. Instead, instead, Ravin is saying that refers to a shvur for the future.
And what's then a shvur?
The ezer is shvur shav. So what is a shvur shav? Nishvah l'shanah to say yadur la'odam. That's where you're making a shvur to change something which is already known to which is already known to people. This marble pillar is really gold. This man is really a woman, etc.
Like nishvah l'shanah to say yadur.
That is l'shanah to say yadur. So therefore, so Ravin had not mentioned L'shanos es Yadua at all. He hadn't mentioned it in his classification of Shavuos. He hadn't mentioned that concept at all. Ravin is the one bringing up that concept.
Very close to Sheker. I mean, Oichel v'loy Oichel is Sheker.
Oichel v'loy Oichel is a different kind of Shavuos Sheker, basically. But you can't say that it's Lois Yishovu B'Shmila Sheker, because the moment he said the Shavuos, it's not a Sheker. Therefore, all you can get him on is Lo Yachol Dvarei.
Okay.
As opposed to a shvuah shav, lois disa, shema shema lakach lashav, would be where you're swearing on something which is trivially true or trivially false. Okay. Amar Abba, hod Rav Abahu lav beferush itmar ela miklole itmar. This that Rav Abahu said, this classification that he said, he didn't explicitly say this. We deduce it from something else that Rav Abahu said. Namely, the Amr of Idi Ba'ovin, Amr of Amram, Amr of Yitzchok, Amr of Yechnan, so we start with a discussion like this. Rabbi Yehuda Oyma Mishum Rabbi Yosi Agud. Kol loisa seshava Torah, lav sheyesh b'maisa loikin olav, when it comes to any loisa say in the Torah, only if there is a maisa involved, only then do you get malchus. V'she'en b'maisa ein loikin olav, if there's no maisa involved, generally
speaking. Not everybody agrees with that.
Yes, we'll get to that too. But right now, we're talking according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, in the name of Rabbi Yisrael, that there has to be Maisa, Rasha'in be Maisa in Loikin Olav, Chutz, with the following exceptions, Minishba, for somebody who swears falsely, Umemar, and somebody who makes
Chutz, meaning,
accept. There's no Maisa, and you still get Maisa. Minishba, Umemar, and somebody who makes a Tmura, who has an animal for a korban and says, I'm exchanging this animal with another one. The Torah says, "Lo yachifenu, v'lo yomirai."
So he doesn't do it.
No, he does. What do you mean he doesn't do it? He says, this animal which I previously designated as an ola, instead I'm exchanging it for this animal.
Okay.
The Torah cancels him and makes it that both of them now have kedusha. Both of them have to be brought as korbanos. And the person also gets malchus for being over on when the Torah says, "Lo yachifenu, v'lo yomirai." So even though there's no ma'ase involved because it's only
verbal.
Speaking, it's only verbal. Nevertheless, that gets him malchus. Tosfos, by the way, explains over here that Rabbi Yochanan will say that speaking can be considered a ma'aseh when it actually leads to a ma'aseh. For example, we learned back in Bava Metzia, we have the example over there where instead of actually putting a muzzle on an animal, you yelled at it and thereby prevented it from eating while it's threshing. So your speech actually brings about a ma'aseh. The animal now doesn't eat. As opposed to here, we're talking about exceptions where there's no specific action that happens as a result of it. Those are the exceptions we're mentioning. So Nishba Omeimer.
That's Rabbi Yisagli.
Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yisagli. And a third exception of Makalas Chaveda B'Shem. A third example of somebody who curses another person using Hashem's name. Those three cases are where a person will get Malkus even though there was no Maisa. Tosfos points out there are actually two others. You have Edim Zomimin, and you have Moitzi Shemra, the husband who falsely accuses his wife. We're not listing those, Tosfos says, for a couple of reasons. One thing Tosfos says is by both of those the Torah explicitly spells out that you get malchus. Therefore, we don't need to list them as exceptions. Okay, fine. So now we have to figure out nishba menolon. Where do we know that a person gets malchus for swearing falsely? Amar Rav Yechon Mishum Rav Shimon Yechoi. Omakra, because like this, the pasuk says, "Loi sisa Hashem Hashem lakach alashav ki lo yinake." The pasuk says, "Don't take Hashem's name in vain, because He will not cleanse." So He will not cleanse implies based in shalmaila in menakenos. It means that based in shalmaila is not going to cleanse him as long as he's alive. However, based in shalmata malkenos or menakenos. However, based in shalmata, the based in here on earth, will give him are obligated to give him malchus, and thereby they will cleanse him as much as possible. It still doesn't completely clean it up, but Rambam points out you have two different isurim involved when you swear falsely. One is the actual thing of swearing falsely, lashav or lashaker, as the case may be. The other is that you mean machal al Hashem's name. The pasuk actually says, "Lashav b'shmi lashaker v'chilalta Hashem lakecha," and for chilul Hashem. The Gemara tells us in Yuma, even a person does tshuva and gets yisurim and so on and so forth. The only thing that completely cleans up, even after Yom Kippur, everything, the only thing that completely cleans up the Aveira of Chilul Hashem is when the person dies. You need all four things, in other words. You need
tshuva to be Chilul Hashem.
Does it have to be that he knows about it?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, we say in Pirkei Avos, "Echad Shogeg v'Echad Meizid B'Chilul Hashem," right?
So
I don't know. I mean, that I don't know if that's talking about the same type of Chilul Hashem as we're talking about over here. This is different types of Chilul Hashem, remember? For example, you have Chilul Hashem, as in, for example, we learned in Sanhedrin, where a person is obligated to be Moiseh Nefesh to not violate certain mitzvahs, and he goes and does it anyway. That's one type of Chilul Hashem. You have the type of Chilul Hashem, which is what people usually use when they hear the word Chilul Hashem, that you're putting Hashem or the Torah in a bad light, making making Hashem and the Torah look bad.
Right.
And then you have the kind of Chilul Hashem that we're talking about over here, swearing the Torah. So I don't know if the same, I don't know when it says Echad Shoylu V'Echad Mezid, the Chilul Hashem, in Tevira, I don't know if it means all, I don't know if it means all different times. Anyway, the point is, that the point is, in our Gemara over here, that we see from those words, Lo Yanake, that he's obligated to get Malchus down here on earth. So that based in Shalmata will clean him up as much as possible. And then Hashem won't cleanse him as long as he's alive. When he dies, then that'll completely clean him up. So therefore,
how do we know that it's not completely
How do we know? The Gemara tells us, the Gemara tells us in Yoma, it learns it from a Pasuk over there, it learns it from a Pasuk in Yeshaya that says about the Aver of Chil Hashem, in Yechupa, Oven Hazel Lachem Ad Temutzim, this Oven won't be completely forgiven to you until you die. So, yeah. Okay. So now the Papa says to Abaye, how do you know that that's what the Pasuk means? When you say Kilo Yanaka, it means Hashem won't cleanse him, but based in Shalmata has to cleanse him.
Are you asking the same question?
Maybe it means Lo Yanaka Klal. Maybe it means the person is never cleansed of it.
Well, it's two questions.
Okay. The answer is, Abaye answers it, Iksiv Kilo Yanaka Kedikam. Fine, if it just says Kilo Yanaka, he won't cleanse, then you're right. That's what it means. It would mean he's never going to be cleansed. Hashem. The fact that it adds the word Hashem, and it shouldn't need to say that. Of course, what we're talking about is going to cleanse him or not cleanse him. Why the extra word Hashem? It means Hashem will get in him and not gavel based in Shalmata Malkinosa or Menachinosa.
How can a based in Shalmata not pardon him if Hashem doesn't?
Meaning, based in Shalmata, not pardoning him. Menachinosa would mean like this. Okay, hold on. The Gemara tells us in Yoma, you have four different categories of Aveiros. You have mitzvah saseh, where all the person needs to do tshuva and he's immediately forgiven. You have mitzvah loisaseh, where he needs to do tshuva and then, as we learned in the previous parak, you need your kippur to come, and that completes his kapara. You have harsher types of Aveiros, like krisis and mitzvah, where the person, in addition, needs to undergo yisurin. That's what we mean over here when we say based in Shalmaila. We mean, in other words, based in Shalmaila is not going to completely cleanse him via Yisurim. Yisurim he may have, but it's not going to completely cleanse him. The based in Shalmata has it, or maybe he won't get Yisurim because of that, because it's not going to help anyway. The based in Shalmata is responsible for trying to be menake him as much as possible as they can here on earth. Again, the complete... That's for Chilul Hashem, is where you have that you need Tshuva and Yom Kippur and Yisurim and Misa. That's what we're saying over here. Yisurim is a malchus. So, based in Shalmaila is not going to administer Yisurim to him, but based in Shalmata is obligated to in order to cleanse him as much as possible, and between that and Yom Kippur, and eventually when he dies, then he'll be completely cleaned up. So that's why it says Hashem, to imply that Hashem and his based in are not going to do anything to be menakeh him, but based in Shalmata will. So therefore we see that's how we see that a person who swears falsely gets malchus. Okay, now where does Rav Abahu come in? The question is like this, Ashkuchan Shavuos Shav. Fine, so we find that the Pasuk refers this to Shavuos Shav. Because the context, Kilo Yinak Hashem, is talking about Lo Yisisa Hashem Hashem Lekech Al Hashav. Shavuos Sheker Menolan, how do we know the same concept applies to Shavuos Sheker? So, Rav Yechanan Didei Omer, so now Rav Yechanan on his own says the previous thing Rav Yechanan had said, the limud from Kilo Yinak, Rav Yechanan had said in the name of Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. This next limud is on his own initiative. That the pasuk says lashav shtei pamim. The pasuk says twice lashav again because you have it in the first dibros and in the second, or not even in the first dibros and the second dibros. In the same pasuk itself, it says twice lashav. Loisi says shem hashem lashav ki lo yinak hashem et hashem yisrael shmei lashav. So we did the two second word lashav. In Aina Inyan, the Shavuos Shav, therefore, if you don't need the second one to teach us what the deal is with Shavuos Shav, because you already know from earlier in the Pasuk, Tineu Inyan, the Shavuos Sheker, then instead apply it to the related case of Shavuos Sheker. So therefore, Rabbi Yechanan says that's how we know the same rule applies to Shavuos Sheker. Now,
paradoxical, we say twice Hashav and one is.
That's, we have that all the time. We've had many times in the Gemara. In Aina Inyan Lazet, Tineu Inyan Lazet. When you have an extra word in one context and it's not needed for that one, then you use it for related. You use it for related din in a different context. Okay. Bahavi bar Rav Abahu. So now here's where Rav Abahu comes in. So now Rav Abahu wondered about this.
About what?
About this statement of Rabbi Yechanan. Hai Shavuos Sheker Hei Chidomi. What is the scenario we're dealing with over here when we're saying Shavuos Sheker? Are we talking about a shvua that talking about for the future that I won't eat, and he ended up eating? Lav sheyesh b'maisa. Well, that's a lav. That's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. Obviously, you get malchus for it. You don't need an extra limud from the word lashav to teach us that. The elad amar shvur she'oichal v'loy ochal. So, are you going to say that it means the other way around? He made a shvur that I will eat, and he didn't end up eating without a maisa. The question is, ha'imi loike? Does that person even get malchus according to Rabbi Yechanan? And according to Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, he doesn't get malchus.
Because you need a maisa.
No. We'll see. Rabbi Yechanan has his reason. Rish Lakish has his. They both agree he doesn't get malchus. We learned this in Makos, but they give different reasons for this. V'ha itmar, because we know there was a discussion. Shvur she'oichal kikor zu hayom. A person makes a shvur that I will eat this bread today. V'over hayom v'lo ochla. The whole day passed and he hadn't eaten it. Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish da'amitavayu ein loike. Both Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish say they both agree that he doesn't get malchus, but for different reasons. Rabbi Yechanan Amar Einu Loike Mishum to have a Labshein Bemaisa, because the Labshein Bemaisa, because he passively didn't eat the whole Labshein Bemaisa in Loike and all of. So we see Rabbi Yechanan holds you don't get Malchus in that case. So again, back to the question: what is the case of our Shavuos Shav? Rabbi Yechanan had said that not only you get Malchus for Shavuos Shav, but also for Shavuos Sheker. Rabbi concern about that is what kind of Shavuos Sheker. If Shavuos Sheker means for the future, which is how Rav Dimi had defined it,
right.
Then there's no case of Shavuos Sheker that either you are gonna get Malchus because there was a Maisa, but you don't need a special limud from the Pasuk in it. It's like any lab that is not involves a Maisa and it's not in the Tikla Esa and whatever other criteria that you get Malchus. And if it's where there's no Maisa, then you don't get Malchus, which is the Lab Shein Me Maisa.
And but a shlokish on my animal. Here, a shlokish says also it's true that you don't get a malchus, but for a different reason. Mishum to have a hasrat sabbat, because it is hasrat sabbat. Namely, when they give him hasrat, you have to eat that bread. You don't have to eat it right there on the spot. He has the whole rest of the day. So there's no way to give him hasrat.
The only way to do it would be if you give him hasrat within Tosh Kedei Dibur of the end of the day, and you can't really time it like that. So practically speaking, there's no way to give him asura in a way where you know for sure that if he violates it, he's going
to
be chayav.
Time for him to eat it.
Right, because the classic asura is you turn on that light switch, you're going to be chayav, you're going to be chayav stealer or whatever.
Over here, it's
you have to eat that bread, and if not, you're going to be chayav malchus. Why? It's only 12 o'clock now. I can eat it at 1 o'clock. I can eat it at 2 o'clock, etc.
Tomorrow.
No, today, because he said I'm going to eat it today.
If he said
hayyoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shavuot she'oichal kikor zu hayyoy.
So it's Hasrat Sopik, but Hasrat Sopik, Lo Shema Hasrat. A Hasrat Sopik, Rish Lakish says, is not a valid Hasrat. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan disagrees with that. We learn in Malchus. We learn in Malchus. We learn that Rabbi Yechanan accepts such a Hasrat. But the point is that, Rabbi Yechanan holds you don't get Malchus for not eating the bread when you swore you will eat it. So therefore, Shavuos Sheker can't be talking like that. Can't be talking about the Torah wants to inform us you get Malchus for Shavuos Sheker in the future where it is, I won't eat this and you do eat it, because that's obvious. It's a lav sheyesh b'maisa, of course you get Malchus.
Yeah. We don't need that. Right.
And therefore, v'omer Rav Abahu, so therefore Rav Abahu ends up saying, tehei v'achalti v'lo achalti. Necessarily, you have to understand that the Shavuos Sheker that Rabbi Yechanan is referring to must be talking about the past, achalti and lo achalti. Which goes back to what we said at the top of the Amud, when we said at the top of the Amud that Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the name of Rabbi Bohu, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that Shavuos Sheker is referring to the past.
That's
how
right.
Do we see that Rabbi Bohu said that? We see that by deducing it from this whole discussion that we just had over here. Now, by the way, usually when the Gemara points that out that we didn't hear this explicitly from an Amorita, but rather we deduce it from something he says, sometimes the Gemara will point out maybe the deduction is not really so valid. Over here, the Gemara is not doing that, so
it seems to say it's acceptable.
It seems to endorse it. So some of the Rishonim learn that in fact that's how it is. Maybe over here, Ela Miklala Itmar is an unusual way of doing it. It's saying that it is a valid inference. That's not, I think the Ritva talks about that. Maybe not. You could have argued that that maybe Rav Bohu is not necessarily, that you could argue that Rav Bohu is not necessarily forced to say achalti v'lo achalti, that sheker means achalti v'lo achalti, and therefore not necessarily did he say what we attributed to him at the top of the Amud. We can infer it from him, but not necessarily is that a valid answer. Okay.
Not absolutely.
Fine. So the question is umayishna. So the question is, what after all is the difference between oichal and between oichal and loy achal? So if you make a shavua, I will eat this bread today, and you don't eat it today. We said that's a lav shein b'maisa. Why should it be? So why is there a difference? Why with a chalti or loy achalti, where you swear I ate this and you didn't eat it, or vice versa? There's also no maisa involved. Why are we saying that in one case you wouldn't get malchus and in the other one you would?
When you say for the future. You wouldn't.
When you say for the future and you didn't end up doing it, you would not, because the lav shein b'maisa. Well, if you say for the past, I ate this and you didn't really eat it, it's also lav shein b'maisa. All there was your verbal declaration. I ate it when you really didn't. You're right.
You do get markers for that.
Yeah, so that's the question. Maishna, what's the difference? Yeah.
How do you know that it's that question?
What?
How do you know it's this specific question that we're asking you?
That Rashi explains it. Yeah. The Rimi Gash explains the question somewhat differently, that why maybe indeed we should learn from this that in general you can get malchus for a lav shein b'maisa.
Okay.
Amar Rava, b'feirush rib satorah shvuas sheker doma l'shav. No, because the Torah explicitly gives us a ribui, that a shvuas sheker is like a shvuas shav. How is that ribui? Rashi says the reason is, again, going back to what Rabbi...
In terms of punishment or in terms of definition?
No, in terms of punishment.
Right.
Yeah.
Definition?
Well, no, as far as definition also, he's saying, ma shav l'sha'over, af sheker nami l'sha'over. Therefore, just as a shvuas shav is not by definition, one type of shvuas shav is definitely l'sha'over, something which you know is A and you're claiming is B, that's l'sha'over. So also by saying that a shvuas shav is like a shvuas sheker, so also the Torah is saying that a shvuas sheker can also be l'sha'over.
So that's a new position. That's a
Kiddush. So what we're saying is, in other words,
before
like
we said, it's gentle punishment.
Right, but now what we're saying is like this. Within shvuas sheker itself, there can be two different kinds. That's what Robin was saying before. There can be two different kinds of shvuas sheker. One is l'sha'over, one is l'habo. The difference is, for one of them, by implication, he said, because achalti v'lo achalti is sheker, lo yishova b'shmila sheker, oichal and lo yoichal is lo yachal dvaray. One is the future. So what it is like this. Maybe, yes, you could understand that shvuas sheker means the future. However, a shvuas sheker for the future is not similar to a shvuas shav, which by definition is for the past. Because a shvuas shav, again, is l'shanos, it's one type of shvuas shav, is l'shanos, it's a yadua, to say that this is not what it looks like it is.
But one, now we're saying with shvuas sheker could be in the past or the future.
What we're saying is like this. Even if you want to argue that shvuas sheker can be in the future, which is how Robin defined it before, we don't have a source to say that a shvuas shav, which is about the past, should be similar to a shvuas sheker, which is about the future. Therefore, we can say, for a shvuas shav in the past, you will get malchus. Okay. For a shvuas sheker of the type that's in the future, you will not if there's no ma'isa. You won't unless there's a ma'isa. As opposed to a shvuas sheker l'sha'avar, you will, because that the Torah is ma'ave, is the same as a shvuas shav. How is it ma'ave? Rashi says the fact that, like Rabbi Yochanan said before, you have twice the word l'shav in the pasuk, and we say that one of the l'shav teaches us about shvuas sheker. So that's the comparison.
Okay.
Tosfos says it's not that. Tosfos says it's going back to what we said before about shav and sheker. We said b'dibur echad, that in the dibris the rishonis you have shvuas shav, and the dibris shnius in Yisra you have shav and sheker.
Straight meaning, not just it's said in the same pasuk, it means it is the same.
Yes. So it is the same. In other words, it is the same in the sense that there is a similar penalty for, well, in other words, that there's a penalty-wise, but also definition-wise, that where the definition of them is the same as far as time, meaning that both of them refer to the past. So a shav always refers to the past, and a sheker could refer to past or future. When it refers to the past, the Torah is being ma'arvi, you get malchus for it, even though on the face of it there's no ma'isa. As opposed to l'habba, we have no such ribui, and therefore the usual rules apply. When there's a ma'isa, you get malchus. When there's no ma'isa, you don't get malchus. Okay.
That's according to...
Well, that's how now we understand what Rav Bo is saying. Okay. Eisvei Rav Yirmiyah l'Rav Bo. Okay, but now Rav Yirmiyah asks for the following contradiction to Rav Bo. On this definition of his, yeah. We say later on in our parak, shvur shalai eichel kikur zir, shvur shalai echlana, shvur shalai echlana. What if a person makes three shvurs that he won't eat this one loaf of bread? va'achla, and then he ate it. Ene chayev ala'achas. He's only chayev one malchus or one carbon.
But he said three shvuos.
The reason is because I mentioned at the beginning of the parak there's a number of differences between nedarim and shvuos, and one of them is that ein shvua chol al shvua. One shvua cannot be chal on top of another one. We mentioned that, and one reason behind it, by the way, is we're going to say later on in the parak, we're going to talk about the concept that you can't be nishba l'vatal with a mitzvah. You can't make a valid shvua that will cause you to break a mitzvah, and therefore, so what happens when you first make a shvua? I won't eat this bread. Effectively, now there's a mitzvah. You're not allowed to eat it because you have a mitzvah now. That's not to break your shvua. Therefore, you can't have another shvua bichal on top of that mitzvah.
But here it's the same shvua, because you say three times.
Doesn't matter.
Shvua means a different
one. No. It means the same thing. I mean, in this case, he has now a mitzvah. Yeah, in this case, he has a mitzvah not to eat this bread. Therefore, he's not able to make another shvua. Well, we'll see. Yeah, well, now we'll see later. It's not so simple, but at least if he makes the same shvua again, then he's only chayav one. Okay. And the Mishnah continues, Zuhi shvuas bitur shechayovan al zoyna makos val shigvasa carbon. This is the type of shvuas bitur for which if you did it b'mezid, you get malkos, and if you did it b'shogig, you bring a carbon over the yodin. So the question is, Rabbi Yirmi asks, Zuhi l'mo'utimai. What, after all, why is the Mishnah using the expression Zuhi, this is the type of shvuas bitur, as opposed to what? Lav l'mo'uti achalti v'layachalti v'layloki. Presumably, the Mishnah wants to exclude, as opposed to the cases about the past, a chalti or loy chalti, where you wouldn't get malchus. So you, Rabbi Bohu, are telling me, that for Shavuos l'sha'avar, based on what Rava is saying, you're going to get malchus because the Torah compares them to a Shavuos Shav. But according to this Mishnah, seems to be implying that you don't. You only get malchus for Shavuos for the future, not for one for the past. The answer is no, that's not what the Mishnah is coming to exclude. L'ma'uti achalti v'lo achalti v'kurban. No, what the Mishnah is telling us is that for achalti and lo achalti, if it was wrong and it was b'shoyga, you wouldn't be bringing a kurban. Namely, zuhi dal shigas a kurban olu yared. When the Mishnah says zuhi, it's not to say that only in this case of l'haba would you get malchus, would you bring a kurban. Let me try that again. Not to say that for l'haba you will get malchus, but for the sha'ava you won't get malchus. No, for either of them, you will get malchus. The zuhi is not excluding that. The zuhi is telling us there's a difference between them as far as a korban, if it was b'shogeg. Zuhi da'al shigugas a korban el v'yod. Only in this case, where it's l'haba, are you going to bring the korban? Av l'achalti, v'lo achalti loy. But if it's a matter of achalti and lo achalti, then no, v'rabbi shmohi. Therefore, that would mean that Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shmuel. Da'amah, which Rabbi Shmuel had said, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who said, as we said at the top of the Amud, that the Sha'over and L'Habba, either way you bring a korban, Rabbi Shmuel says, no, Eini Chayev, Ela La'asid Lavoi. He says the only Chayev for a korban, for a Shvua that refers to the future, I will eat this and you didn't eat it, or vice versa.
Not the past.
Right. Avam Milka Lucky, but when it comes to Malchus, the Mishnah is not implying that you will get Malchus for one and not the other. No, you'll get Malchus for either one of them equally. For the past or the future. So therefore, so that Malchus you'll get for whether it was the past or the future.
Right.
Korban, the Mishnah is implying, by saying Zuhi, the Mishnah is implying, only in the case that we discussed, where you said, a shvur that I won't eat this, which is l'haba, and then you ate it, then you're going to be chai of a korban. But if it was the past, I swear that I ate this, and you didn't, you wouldn't be chai of a korban, which goes according to Rabbi Shmuel.
So you would have a difference between korban and
malchus, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah. So therefore, this Mishnah has no contradiction against Rabbi Bohu, because Rabbi Bohu is talking about what happens with malchus. And malchus, you would get l'sha'avar and l'haba. Okay, the problem with that is if you understand the Mishnah that way, if you're understanding the Mishnah to be talking about the Mishnah continues, the Mishnah continues over there with examples of shvuas shav, where, for example, you say about a stone pillar that this is gold or whatever. This is the shvuas shav for which you chayev the mezid malchus and the shogeg yipater. Again, we have to figure zuhi l'mo'uti mai. What is the zuhi coming to exclude over there? My lav l'mo'uti achalti v'lo achalti v'lo lucky. Over there, shouldn't you have to say that the zuhi comes to exclude the past, that you don't get malchus?
Where is here?
What do you mean, where is here? So a shvuas shav, where you pointed to a stone pillar and said it's gold, you'll get malchus, implying, but if you had said that achalti, that I ate, and you didn't really eat, or vice versa, which is similar to a shvuas shav in that it's about the past, So that's something that exists at the time of the Shavua. The implication is you don't get Malchus. But the answer is one. So again, a contradictory of Bohu who said that you get Malchus, so you get Malchus for the past. Yeah, for Moshava, yeah. No, the answer is no. Loi, Zuhi, Dalshin, is also part of the carbon. No, what the mission is that this is the case where if it was Beshoigig, you're part of the carbon. I misread before, by the way. I'll learn the Makas, Dalshin, is a part of the case of Shavuot Shav, we said you're part of the carbon because the reason is.
Because the Pasuk tells, okay. When it comes to Malchus, we know. So we established before, you have Sukkim for Shavuot Sheker, you have Sukkim for Shavuot Shav. When it comes to Korban Ola V'Yoreh, though,
the Pasuk mentions Korban Ola V'Yoreh only in connection with Shavuot. This is Levate V'Tzafai, Lahora Olahe. So he's making a Shavuot about something that he did or didn't, about something that he will do or won't do, or according to that, that did do or didn't do.
Only in those cases is he Chayav a Korban. But if he makes a Shavuot Shav, if he says the stone pillar is gold, that's not Lahora Elahetiv. Therefore, you don't bring a carbon for it. So the Mishnah, by saying, when we said, Lav Lamotish Achalti Vlay Achalti Vlay Laki, no, the answer is, Zuhi Dal Shigigot a Potter Mikarbon. Only in this case, if you did it Beshogig, would you be Potter from a carbon because it's not Lavate Vitzvatayim. It's not about something that you did or didn't or will or won't do. But the case of Achalti, V'lo Achalti, Al Shigigot a Chayiv Carbon, the Mishnah is implying that's the kind of case where if it was Beshogig, you would bring a carbon. Therefore, that Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that you chayav a korban equally for the past, which is not mentioned in the pasuk, as for the future, which is
as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel.
The problem is ha'amet reisha Rabbi Shmuel. You just said before you wanted to understand that the reisha goes according to Rabbi Shmuel to say when you get malchus and when you don't, or when you bring a korban rather and when you don't.
Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer Rabbi Akiva. You're going to say that one part, the first part of the Mishnah, is like Rabbi Shmuel. It happens sometimes, but it's very rare. We don't like to do that unless we're
really forced into it. Just in order to stand for what Rabbi Bohu was saying, there's not reason enough to do that.
So we reject Rabbi.
No. The answer is Kula Rabbi Akiva. No, the answer is that the whole Mishnah can be shelled ein like Rabbi Akiva. You assume that the reisha, when it said zuhi, meant only in this case of shvur shaloye chlana, shvur that I won't eat it, and you're saying as opposed to achalti, I did eat it or I didn't eat it. No. It's not to be memayit that you don't bring a korban in that case. You will bring a korban in the case of achalti v'loy achalti. Rabbi Akiva says so. Okay, what the Mishnah is saying is there's another case involving the future where you don't get malchus, namely if you said, I will eat this, and you don't end up eating it. We said before, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish both agreed that you don't get malchus for it, whether because it's lav shein memayit or whether it's because of surah suffix. Therefore, when the Mishnah tells us, if you made a shavua, shaloy echlena, that I won't eat it, and you ate it, where there's a maisa, you will get malchus. However, the parallel future case where you said, I won't eat this, where you said, I will eat this, and you don't, you won't get malchus. That's what it's being memayit by the word zuhi.
Parallel case where you say, you eat it.
Where you say, I will eat it, and you don't eat it.
Don't.
And you don't eat it, there's no maisa involved. The Mishnah, by saying zuhi, is implying only in the case where it involves a maisa do you get malchus, not for the future, though, that is, not the case where it doesn't involve a maisa for the future. The Mishnah is not addressing the question of the past.
Yes.
The past it could be you do get malchus, and you do bring a korban, which would agree with Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, the whole Mishnah can be made to work according to Rabbi Akiva. Alva korban mechayev. So a korban you will be chayev. Whether in either case, whether there was a maaser or whether there wasn't. So therefore, so the whole Mishnah can be made to work according to Rabbi Akiva and still fit with what Rabbi Bohu was saying. That if it was l'sha'avar, regardless, you get malchus. And if it's l'haba, only if there's a maaser. So in only in three out of the four cases would you get malchus. In all four cases, you would bring a korban. Okay, the question is a maish.
That's the criteria for Rabbi Akiva
in
the future.
That's what we're saying.
So there has to be a maish.
We're saying that according to the Tanoim who hold, and that's the halacha, that you need a lav shein b'maisa, that you need a lav sheyesh b'maisa to get malchus, right? So in the fourth case, you won't get malchus because there's no maish. But a korban, Rabbi Akiva is saying, you'd bring in all four cases, whereas Rabbi Shmuel would say you only bring a korban for the two future cases, not the two cases about the past. Okay, like my after maishna. So what's the difference? What made you think before that the Mishnah is trying to be mamayit with Zuhi, is trying to be mamayit the past, and now you're saying that it means that it's adapted to be mamayit something in the future? The answer is mistabra, because it's logical. Because it's logical when the Mishnah is addressing a case where you're talking about the future, I won't eat this, and you do eat it, then it's being mamayit the parallel case for the future where you said I will eat this and you don't eat it. What's the logic, though, to think that when it's talking about the future, that it should be my past? So therefore, that makes it more logical to understand the Mishnah in a way that it fits with what Rabbi Bohu is saying.
It's Mamayat over there.
It's Mamayat. Once you're talking about one thing in the future, then it's Mamayat a different case in the future. Tosis brings a different gear over here and a different understanding of what the question is. Wouldn't it be better to try and make the whole Mishnah go like Rabbi Shmuel?
Why?
Because it's always better to try and make the whole Mishnah because then what you would have is in both cases the Zuhi is Mamayat the past. So one is talking about
the whole Mishnah could be according to Rabbi Akiva.
When the Gemara says Tosfos has the Girsa, not Maishna, but Maro Isa. What makes you see to do it this way? In other words, you might have thought to do it the other way, and it would be better to make it all go according to Rabbi Shmuel and make it that this way. You're always being Mamayat something Mashaavar, just one from a Korban and one from Malkus, rather than have to say that in one part of the Mishnah you're being Mamayat Mashaavar and in the other you're being Mamayat Lahaba. And the answer is, nevertheless, it's more logical when it's talking about Lahaba that it's more logical that you're going to be Mamayat something Lahaba. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Shvur Shaloi Oichal V'Ochal Kol Shu Chayiv. We said in the Mishnah that if a person makes a Shvur that he won't eat, and he ate even the smallest amount, we said that he's Chayiv. We said that he's Chayiv, says Rabbi Akiva. Said the Chachamim that he's that. Said Rabbi Akiva that he's chayiv, and the Chachamim asked him, "How is it possible? We know b'chol atora kula to be chayiv malchus for eating something that has to be a kazayis." Okay, so the question is like this: now there is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which we learned in Matos, that in general, whenever it comes to malchus b'chol atora kula, you don't need a kazayis. Does Rabbi Akiva agree with that, or is he talking specifically only in this case of shavuos?
Who said that?
Rabbi Shimon.
He
says throughout the whole Torah, whenever we learned about this in Makkos over there, where a person eats less than a kazayis of Maisa Sheni outside Yerushalayim or whatever it was, Rav Shimon had said he's chayiv malchus. He said even chita achat.
What's the reason we gave it?
Because chita achat kibur yosta, fine. You have even one grain of wheat as a barrier. It's a naturally formed product. So he said the halakha l'mishmi sinai about that you need a kazayis is only as far as whether you have to bring a korban or not. So the question is not whether you chayv malchus or not. Does Rabbi Akiva agree with that, or is he talking specifically you only in connection with shavuos? Only by shavuos that you chayv for less than a kazayis, but b'chol atara kula, when it comes to chaylev or ma'is sheni outside your shalayim or tevel or what have you, that's the question. Rabbi Akiva b'chol atara kula for Rabbi Shimon severely. Does this mean that Rabbi Akiva holds throughout the whole Torah like Rabbi Shimon, the Mechayev Amashu, where throughout the whole Torah Rabbi Shimon always holds that Yechayev for even a Mashu? And we know this, the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, a Kol Shehu L'Makos, that when it comes to Malkus, Yechayev even for eating a Kol Shehu, as long as he had Asura. But like Amr Kazayis, El Inyan Korban, the relevance of the concept of a Kazayis is only as far as if you did it B'Shogig, whether you have to bring a Korban. And therefore, if we say that Rabbi Akiva holds that way, by rights then, Rabbi Akiva could have been arguing anywhere else in Shas. He didn't have to mention it specifically over here in Shavuos in connection with the case of Shavuos. The only reason why the machlokas is brought only over here, because we want to be told how far the Rabbanon go with their opinion. We always try to find where there is lenient, where Tana is as lenient as possible. The Afa gab to Ikalamema, where even though you could argue like this, since if he had explicitly said that, let's say he had explicitly said, I swear that I won't even taste from this, let's say, for example, then for sure he'd be chayiv even for mashu with it. Therefore, stam nami chayiv, you would think maybe therefore even if he didn't specify that, he just said I won't eat, maybe also he should be chayiv for mashu, kamash malon de patri, and therefore the chiddush of our Mishnah is that Rabbanon even in that case, will still say it's possible.
He
didn't specify, and therefore they will say that a shvua is exactly like kol ha-tora kula, where you're only chayav for kezayis and nothing less. So is that how we should understand Rabbi Akiva? That really he would hold elsewhere also when it comes to chaylev and kevel and so forth, that you chayav malchus for less than a kezayis, and also by shvuas. Maybe in general he holds like the Rabbanan, you need Kazayas to be Chayav Malkus. But maybe Rabbi Akiva is saying specifically over here, because you do have that if he had explicitly said that I won't eat Kol Shehu, he'd be Chayav. Therefore, even if he doesn't specify Kol Shehu, he's still Chayav. So only in this case, Rabbi Akiva would say. Maybe that doesn't apply.
If he didn't specify.
If Torah Kula, there's no question of specifying or not. But when the Torah tells us, you know, I'll eat chaylev, let's say, are we saying that, so again, is Rabbi Akiva saying that you're still going to be chayav malchus in those cases also? He holds like Rav Shimon. Or is he going to say in those cases, no, because it doesn't depend on you saying anything. But here, where it depends on you saying something, you would have had the ability to say kol shehu, and that would make it binding on kol shehu, and even the Rabbanan would have to agree with that. Therefore, even if he didn't say kol shehu, we can still apply it in that case also.
Because
he would say that it's a similarity, because he would depend on what him say and what he says. The Mishnah Melech talks about this, and on the Rambam and Hilchos Shavuos, he says that the question may be basically, are we saying the person made the Shavuah using Loshen B'nei Adam? Loshen B'nei Adam is not necessarily eating involves a Kazayas, or does he mean using Loshen Torah, where Loshen Torah involves a Kazayas or not? Okay.
So in Lashon B'nei Adam,
he
would have...
In Lashon B'nei Adam, if you argued he's going according to Lashon B'nei Adam, maybe he would be chayav for less. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Akiva could be arguing, that since in Lashon B'nei Adam, eating can be even less than a kezayis, therefore here he's chayav for less than a kezayis. And then Abba Rono disagrees with that. Or does Rabbi Akiva also hold that you don't even need a kezayis to be chayav
for less?
Well, that's what we have to figure out. But since it's minor now, then we'll be doing the discussion for tomorrow.